Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
If I can get God's word into my life, if I can live it, if I can have a commitment to it, I'm not going to lack anything. The enemy wants to get you to compromise in little areas because you know better than the word of God. You know better than the Bible. You're looking at the tree of good and evil, and you're like, I think I can take some of the tree of the good and evil.
The enemy's goal is to attack your mind. He is the father of lies, and he wants to replace the truth in our mind, God's word, with his lies. Today on Practical Christian Living, we bring you more of Paul's powerful message out of Ephesians chapter 6, so that you can be better equipped to battle Satan's attacks and be victorious because of the armor of God. Today, we're diving into the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
We're in the last chapter of the book of Ephesians. We slowed down in a series that we have entitled Combat Zone. We're in the sixth chapter, and we are discussing this idea of spiritual warfare. The goal is to find out what the Bible has to say so you and I can know what to believe. Rather than approaching the Bible with what we believe, trying to get it to back up what we believe. That's a sure way to be wrong, and a lot of people study the Bible that way. We've learned something from a group we were in, from a denomination. We believe it's right. We try to study the Bible to back up what we already believe, rather than studying the Bible to find out what the Bible says so we can believe what it says, because that's freedom. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. In another place, he said, my word is truth. So we want to know what his truth is. In other words, the Bible is our authority. Never has there been a time like we are living today when there's so much evidence that has come forward showing the word of God to be so trustworthy, so true. So many archaeological discoveries have just backed up what the scriptures have said. So often it was attacked as being made up, but the discovery in archaeology and historical writings like Tacitus, Pliny the Younger, Josephus have backed up what the Bible teaches us so we know we can trust in the scriptures. The historicity of the Bible has never been more provable than it is today. And along with that, ought to come living spiritually for him, saying, God, I want to live for you. I want to follow what the word of God says. I want to live the scriptures because they are powerful. The Bible says they're life-changing. They'll get inside of you. It's alive. It's active. It's not going to return back void. God sends his word out to do something in your life. But I want to show you today in the concept of where it says as part of the armor and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is the last piece of armor, but it's really not a piece of armor at all, right? It's the sword of the Spirit. It's our offensive weapon. We'll learn that we parry with it as well. We not only attack, but we fight off the battle of the enemy. And so the enemy wants to get inside of your mind, inside of my mind, and twist it up so that we begin believing something different about the word of God. So I want to take time today to continue on in our series that is called The Combat Zone. We're almost finished. Our goal has been to see what the Bible has to say about spiritual warfare. There are a lot of weird, strange, non-biblical things said about spiritual warfare. Some of you guys may have experienced it. I did. When I was 19 years old, I had the demon of false doctrine cast out of me. It didn't work because once they were done, I still believed that everybody speaking in tongues at the church at the same time was wrong. I was going to a charismatic church. I'd come back to the Lord after walking away for a year. A friend of mine got saved. He got saved in a charismatic church, and everybody prayed in tongues at once. The first time I went there, I had to step over people that had been slain in the spirit, and I knew immediately, problems. We have problems. And then we start singing, everybody starts singing in tongues at once. And I start telling them, listen, it says in the Bible that if there's no interpreter, then pray to yourself. And I knew these things from when I walked with the Lord before, and I kept telling them over and over again, everybody shouldn't be praying in tongues at the same time. Now, I was 19 years old. I was young. Maybe I shouldn't have been running around mouthing off to everybody. I had a lot to learn, all right? But they sat me in a room, and they wanted to cast a demon of false doctrine out of me. They put their hands around my stomach, and they went rad, 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 rad. They made that noise to cast the demon out of me and prayed that the demon of false doctrine would leave. And they must have felt satisfied because they let me go. And the next time I told them, everybody shouldn't be speaking in tongues at the same time, they said, get out. No, that's not what they did. After the rad, rad experience, which went on for, I'm trying not to exaggerate, but a couple of hours, it went on for at least of them trying to get this demon out of me, a false doctrine. I left the church after that. And I think most of you should if you go through an experience like that. So there are a lot of weird, strange, non-biblical things done and said about spiritual warfare. People will talk about being demonized. The Bible never talks about that. There's a Greek word for demonized where the Bible talks uses, but no Christians ever demonized. They talk about Klingons. So people say, I can see you have a demon clinging on to you, and you got a demon clinging on to you, and you need to be delivered from that Klingon. They don't call them Klingons. That's my funny name for them because I'm a Star Trek fan. Just a lot of weird, strange things that go on with spiritual warfare. I don't need to name them all because they're weird, but we want to take time next week to look at what the Bible says when you've given a place to the enemy, when the enemy's attacking you because you've opened a door for him. How do you take care of that? We're going to be dealing with that next week because I think it's very important for us to do that. This week, we want to take a look at the spiritual battle when it comes to the use of the Word of God in the midst of spiritual warfare. The title of our message today is The Sword of the Spirit. This is the last piece of the spiritual armor, even though, as I said, it's not spiritual armor. In a way, I guess it could be in protection, but it's the way we attack, that we go out and do the work God's called us to do by getting God's word and living it, by saying God's word is full of the truth, and I'm going to go out and live this truth that I find in the midst of God's word. Now, to see how Satan tries to defeat us, we want to look at the battle between Satan and Eve and her defeat, and between Satan and Jesus and his victory. Satan is the one who misuses God's word in the middle. Eve kind of globs on to misusing God's word and loses. Jesus stays true to the word of God and he wins. Christian service means invading. It means being in battle. We're not in some kind of a playground. We're not looking to make our lives as good as we can. Christianity isn't some kind of self-help work where let me just help you get the very best life that you can have. Let me just get you the happiest that you can possibly be. No, souls are on the line. We are called that we would be ambassadors for Christ. We're filled with the Spirit. We are called to be witnesses for him. We are given weapons that we are to use to defeat the enemy. This is what the Bible teaches as Christianity. A lot of churches just want to make you comfortable. They want you to feel comfortable. We want to see as many people saved and enter into heaven that can possibly do that. This highlights that our service to God places us in the middle of a spiritual battle where our minds play a crucial role. The enemy wants to attack your mind. He wants to get you believing something that isn't true. God wants to get the word which he supernaturally gave us. All scripture, 2 Corinthians 3:16, all scripture has been given by the inspiration of God, is profitable for reproof, for doctrine, for correction, that the man of God, the woman of God could be thoroughly equipped, lacking in nothing. If I can get God's word into my life, if I can live it, if I can have a commitment to it, I'm not going to lack anything. The enemy wants to get you to compromise in little areas. because you know better than the Word of God. You know better than the Bible. You're looking at the tree of good and evil, and you're like, I think I can take some of the tree of the good and evil. I think I'm okay. As I said, the battle's in our minds. We will see, as we compare these two, that the contrast of the temptation of Eve and Jesus, and how Jesus didn't move or waver from what the Word of God said. Let's start with Eve. Here's the biblical principle. It's about spiritual warfare. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. This sounds like Ephesians. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So let me go back to the verse, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. This is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. This is the weapon that we have, God's Word, rightly divided, rightly applied, rightly lived. Then it says, casting down arguments. The world says, you know what's best. Just listen to yourself. Look within yourself. Live your own heart. Live the things that you feel. These are the kind of things you will never find in the Word of God. These are the lies that are told you so that you don't listen to what the Word of God says. Casting down arguments, cast them down, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. How do we gain the knowledge of God? Through the Word, bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. The next time you say, the Bible says this, but I feel this. Know this, the Word of God doesn't change. Your feelings, is this gonna hurt your feelings? Is this gonna shock you? Your feelings change. You feel one way at one point and you feel another way at another point. It's why there's such tragedy today with people saying, I feel like I'm a woman or I feel like I'm a man, and then they do surgeries because feelings are not to be trusted. The Word of God is to be trusted. You can feel one thing one day and another thing the next day, but God's Word will stay the same forever. Now, God gave Adam one simple command. It wasn't to take away their freedom. Listen to what he said. God gave this to the man. I don't know where the woman was when this was given, but God gave it to the man. This is Genesis 2, 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree in the garden you may freely eat, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day you eat of it, you shall die. So there was freedom. They could eat of every tree in the garden. There was one tree that was off limits. God gives us freedom. That's why the New Testament says we of all people are the most free. There are just certain things we're to stay away from. And we're given direction in Scripture of the things to stay away from. And it's for your own good. God gave them the freedom first, then the one boundary. You may eat of all the trees in the garden, but not of the tree of good and evil. The tree stood for trust and choice. Would they let God define right and wrong? Think about that. The tree's in the middle of the garden. It stands for choice and it stands for right and wrong. They're not gonna let God define right and wrong. But my question for you is, will you? Will you let God define what's right and wrong? Or will you kind of play around with it like Adam and Eve did? Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One, understanding. The fear of God and the knowledge of God is understanding. Jeremiah 10:23 says, O Lord, I know the way of a man is not in himself. Think of that in postmodernism. What does postmodernism say? There's no absolute truth. What I believe is really the truth. I've got to find my own way. I've got to find my own answers. I've got to find what's really going on inside of my heart. That's postmodernism. So what does this verse say? Oh Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man whom walks to direct his own steps. If we're going to follow our way, the way of that man leads to destruction. We want to follow what God has to say instead. So Satan misuses the word of God. He questions God's word. Satan didn't start with a blatant lie. He began with a question. He doesn't blatantly call the word of God a lie. Listen to what he does. This is Genesis 3:1. This is the serpent and Eve. Now the serpent was more cunning than all the other beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. There's a whole sermon on the serpent, okay? I can't cover that today. Why is there a serpent in the garden? There's an angel called a seraphim. A seraph is a poisonous snake. Seraph means to burn, because when a poisonous snake would bite you, it would burn. And so seraphim may well have been a cherubim that had a snake's body. It's weird, I know, okay? That's why I said it's a whole study. I'm not going to get into it. I just kind of wanted to give you guys a little bit of what's out there. You want to go look it up? Go start looking it up. It's interesting. Now, the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat every tree in the garden? What a creep. And what a lie. Has God said you can't eat of any of the trees here? What did God say? Of all the trees in the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the middle of the garden of good and evil, don't eat from that. Satan comes along. God's not good. God has said you can't eat of any of these trees in the garden. He directly attacks the goodness of God. God's withholding from you. This is how temptation hits us. God's withholding from you. Sex outside of marriage, God's withholding that from you. Getting drunk, God's withholding that from you. There's something that's out there that God's withholding from you. Has God not said you can't eat of any of the trees in the garden? He twisted the truth enough to make God sound unfair. How unfair would that be? He questioned the goodness of God. The reason that God gives us guidelines is for our own goodness. 2 Corinthians 11:13. For such are false prophets, talking about false teachers, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. The enemy always tries to plant doubt about God's goodness. So the response, Genesis 3:2-3. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Well, good. I'm glad that you said that. But did you notice something? She left something out. God said, of the trees in the garden, you may eat freely. She said, we can eat of the trees in the garden. She left out the graciousness of God to provide for her. And for Adam, she makes God less gracious and maybe feels entitled. Well, God made us. He ought to provide food for us. And so we can eat of these trees in the garden. She left out freely. Is there things God has blessed you with that you haven't said, thank you, God, for all you've blessed me with? Are there things that you feel entitled with that you would say, well, God should have given it to us? He created us. He should have made food. I think that that's one of the steps downward. A grateful heart, a heart full of gratitude, a thankful heart is such a blessing. And this is why the Bible says, be thankful in everything. Well, we can eat of the fruit in the garden. She leaves out freely. But of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Did anyone get what she's doing to the word of God? First, she's omitting something that's important. Secondly, she says, God has said that we need the fruit of the trees, but of the fruit in the middle of the garden, we cannot eat it or touch it. What does she do? She turns into a fundamentalist. You know what a fundamentalist is? I don't care if you're Islam fundamentalist, Christian fundamentalist, Buddhist fundamentalist. I don't care whatever kind of fundamentalist you are. What fundamentalists do is they make things as strict as possible. And so she's like, we can't eat it. We can't even touch it. That's a fundamentalist point of view. It wants to add rules. It wants more rules. God cares whether or not you wear a dress. God cares about whether or not how long your hair is. See, fundamentalists always want to major on the minors. When God hasn't said anything to women specifically about the length of hair, and even to men, it's feminine. It says it's a shame when a man has feminine hair. It's not about the length of hair. For you guys that have long hair, you're cool. All right? It's that it's not to look feminine. That's what God said. But fundamentalists, they want to talk about, well, women are wearing pants to church. That was back in the day, right? They were wearing women's pants. They weren't borrowing their husband's pants. This is what fundamentalists do. And this is what we in Calvary Chapel fight against. It's one of the reasons we come to church casual. We just come as we are before the Lord because we want to know what God cares about. We don't want to add to it. I don't want to add anything. I don't want to take away from God's word, and I don't want to add to God's word. Eve did both. We can eat of it, so she takes away freely, but then she adds, touch it. There's all kinds of new rules added on. Let me just ask you, have you added rules in your Christianity? I know most Christians don't think about this, but they shouldn't be doing that. Whatever that is, they shouldn't be doing that because I believe that's wrong. Don't add to God's word. Don't take away from God's word. And finally, lest you die, she changed God's word. First she took away, then she added, then she changed it. Did God say, lest you die? What did God say? You will surely, don't call me surely. You will surely die. Listen, you take away from God's word, you add to God's word, and you are going to surely die, depending on what you're doing. Now, this is the tree of good and evil. God wants them to trust him on what's good and what's evil. They're going to end up wanting to know on their own. The problem with what she said was that she made God's word more grievous. You shall not touch it. Not only that, she made his word less restrictive. She softened the consequences. Lest you die. When it said, surely you will die. Adding to, watering down, God's word always leads to trouble.
Thank you so much for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you'd like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday, 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday, 6 p.m., Sunday morning, 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening, 6 p.m. services right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM
96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.